Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus is still cleansing? Amen. Aren't you glad there is power in the blood? Aren't you glad that there is no sin that the blood of Jesus cannot wash away? Amen. Hallelujah for the blood.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Gender confusion strikes at the very heart of faith in God's unchangeable Word, even at belief in a wise and loving God. Nevertheless, the gender issue cannot be avoided and must be answered by knowledge of what the Bible teaches. That knowledge must be gained early. This evening, we will hear the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message, where he lists 3 points that must be taught to our children if they are to have any hope of standing firm against the lies of the devil. Here now is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of his message, How to Speak to Your Children About Gender Issues.
God made marriage as a union between a man and a woman. Are you still in Genesis? Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And as he slept, he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place. Then he took the rib, etc. So he made Eve. And then jump over to chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam, what? Knew Eve. I don't know what you have in your modern translation, but he didn't just know her. He had a sexual relationship with Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And he did it again, and she bore Abel. I'm so glad I wasn't a woman, because if Cheryl and I had gotten married, them children wouldn't have come about. Am I right about that? I hope my children are glad I'm not a man, a woman. Amen. For the human race to continue, babies must be born. And did you notice that neither males nor females can have a baby without the involvement of the other sex? Has anyone ever noticed that? Am I right about that? Am I right about that? That ought to be a clue for marriage. If two women can't have a baby, not two men, that ought to be a clue. You ain't to be marrying no person of the same sex. That ought to be a clue. If you want to go do that, don't call it marriage, because God, this idea of marriage is something God invented. Now, I wasn't an A student in biology, so please help me with this. Am I correct? Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Help me, you biology folks. Am I correct that God gave males and females complementary sex organs? Am I correct? Shouldn't that be another big clue? For the life of me, I can't quite understand it. God has given us some big, big, big clues. No, we don't like God's clues. Well, listen. Despite the decision of the Congress and the Supreme Court of the United States, same-sex marriage is not marriage in God's eyes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, there is a bigger reason, though. For some of you are having a hard time, there's a bigger reason why it's not marriage in God's eyes. For marriage was designed by God to demonstrate a special relationship which he has with his church. I don't know if you realize that. If you read Ephesians chapter 5, as you read, it's talking about a husband and wife and is telling the husband to love his wife, and it goes on, and suddenly you realize as you start reading Ephesians chapter 5, he's not talking about man and woman, he's talking about Christ and his church, because the whole idea, marriage between a man and a woman, is designed to give us a bigger picture, a picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. And that is why we need to listen. If the society wants to pursue the path, couldn't we, for crying out loud, find another word? Second, teach your children the spiritual consequences of changing gender. Teach your children the spiritual consequences of changing gender. I'm in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 18 to 28. I may skip here and there, but I'm going to read Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness and of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of their incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Verse 24, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another. Men with men committed what is shameful. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covet, and on it goes. It saddens me when so-called Christians hurl insults and physically attack transgenders or someone from the LGBTQ community. My brother and sister, if you're one of those, this is not God's way. My God is a God of love. Amen? My God is a God of love. And we don't need to be attacking anybody, even if they will turn around and attack us. But I want us to realize that despite the fact that God is a God of love and loves every person who is LGBTQ, sometimes the way you hear some preachers preach, you would think God doesn't love the person. God loves. And if you are here and you are LGBTQ, you need to know that God loves you passionately. Jesus died for your sins just like he died for mine. God loves us. But listen, write this in your notes. Although he loves us, God has indicted all those who suppress his revealed truth. Whether you are transsexual, heterosexual, no sexual, it doesn't matter who you are, God has indicted anyone and everyone who suppresses his revealed truth. Verse 18 tells us, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Those who suppress the truth. Verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. God has indicted them. Listen, in order to sin and keep doing what I want without being convicted, what do you think people do? By the way, heterosexuals do the same thing. We ain't married, but we're living like we're married. So what do? We try and suppress God's truth. We hold
We know what God says, but we're going to press down. We don't want to deal with it. But what is tragic in the society in which we are living is that in America, although America is a society that talks so much about free speech, we are doing everything to make sure free speech is curtailed. So in other words, everybody else can speak, but people who say what I'm saying today are in trouble. I hope you realize that. You realize that when this message goes on the radio, chances are I'll get a few letters. In fact, some wondered if we should put what I'm preaching on the sign. Yes, we're going to put what we're preaching on the sign because we want everyone to know God has a perspective, and we, by God's grace, we are going to stand faithful to the word of God. Amen. Regardless of the consequences. But it is a tragedy that there is this effort to suppress God's word. And I don't want nobody to say. In fact, do you know people are being arrested? Street preachers are being arrested because they preach stuff that people don't want to hear? Did you know that 3 years ago, a politician in Finland was arrested just because they tweeted the exact passage I just read? They were arrested. Did you know that a few years ago, the mayor of Houston subpoenaed the sermons of most of the evangelical pastors in Houston? Did you know that? So he could check the message to make sure they weren't going to say anything hurtful to the LGBTQ community. Are you aware of that? That's happening in this very country here. That we're trying so hard to suppress God's truth. What is happening to us in this great land of freedom? Why do we have to shut up those who are willing to stand and proclaim what God says? If what we're doing is so good, we should be able to allow everybody to say what they want. This is why, by the way, I feel the LGBTQ man, he's free to say what he wants. If he wants to have a meeting on the street corner, let him do that. But by the same token, give me a chance to say it, what God says to me. Somebody say amen. Amen. But here is the part that is tragic. God has indicted all those who suppress his revealed truth. But here's the part. Write this in your notes. God will abandon those who suppress his truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? Young man, young woman, if you're leaning in that direction, I beg you, change courses, because God is clearly telling us in this picture, in this passage, he will abandon those who suppress his truth. Look at what it says in verse number 24. Verse 24 says, therefore God what? God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Look at what it says in verse number 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their woman exchanged a natural use for what is against nature. Isn't it obvious what God is saying here? Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what God says, not BG, what God says is shameful. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not want to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. You know, sometimes when we think of God's wrath being revealed, we think of God sending fire from heaven. But it's very interesting what God has done. God has not sent fire from heaven. God has abandoned those who suppress his truth, but he never sent fire from heaven. Write this in your note. God has expressed his wrath by abandoning people to pursue their vile passions.
Do you see what God has done? So what we're actually seeing, much of what we're seeing is a result of God's action. God is actually allowing men and women who have suppressed his truth. He says, go ahead and help yourself. Do it to the max.
You know, some of you know I'm also in the insurance business. And one of the things I have noticed is that just about every client I have who is LGBTQ, and just so you know, I represent them. Some of them are my very close friends. We have great relationships. So, in fact, I may mention one story before I end. Just about everyone has one, two, or three therapists. It's very interesting. The need, so the behavior is an unnatural behavior, and they need help to cope. All right, the message has already gone longer than I expected, so let me go to my third and final point. Amen? Teach your children that God's love is extended to every repentant sinner. I just want to make sure, just because of what I just said, don't ever give up hope on anybody. And never ever teach your child to hate anyone. Let them know that although God has abandoned someone to keep doing what they want, abandonment doesn't mean that God is finished with you and he's, you understand what I'm saying? God is abandoning you to do what you want. It's almost like he's removing the restraint for you to do what you want to do. But he still loves you. He's like the prodigal son. And he allowed his son to do what he wanted. You remember that story? But he was always there looking out for his son. And I want you to know, my friend, no matter who you are and no matter how far you have strayed, I want you to know that God still loves you and there is still hope. As long as the Spirit of God is pricking your heart, there is still hope. You know, the Apostle Paul lived in Corinth for 18 months. Some of you were here the last time when I shared that message, and I gave you a lot of background on Corinth. And you remember I shared with you that Corinth was known, now, of course, they didn't have Vegas, but if you were to compare it, it was regarded as the most wicked city at that time because everything went on in Corinth, including sodomy, which is another thing we won't talk about today, including sodomy and homosexuality. But the Apostle Paul was there for 18 long months. This is the second, there was only one other place Paul ministered in for longer than he did in Corinth. He was there for 18 months and there's nothing that indicates that Paul was rebuffing homosexuals. In fact, it is evident that he shared the gospel with the homosexuals, and as a result of the ministry, turn to me with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9, where we'll see what happens. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. The Apostle Paul says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunks, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You ain't going to go to heaven with all this load of stuff. And the Apostle Paul says, and such were some of you. He's talking to the Christians in the church. He said, that's what some of you used to be like. But he said, hallelujah, but you were washed. Amen. Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus is still cleansing? Amen. Aren't you glad there is power in the blood? Aren't you glad that there is no sin that the blood of Jesus cannot wash away? Amen. Hallelujah for the blood. And he says, so some of you, but you were washed. Hallelujah. You were sanctified. You were made holy. You were justified, declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. This is a message of hope. It's a message that lets us know God has not given up on you yet. Let people know that. Parent,
Don't give up on your homosexual or your transvestite child. Don't give up on them yet, because there is still hope in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Keep praying. Brother and sister, let's keep praying. But notice, Paul didn't form a homosexual church, a church for transgenders. One of the tricks of the devil. Okay, now I'm going to talk. One of the tricks of the devil is this nonsense about a transgender church and a homosexual church. Are we walking in New York City? All these rows of churches are telling people you can just continue the way you are. You want to be in church? Come on in. In fact, some churches are even ordaining bishops. Pastors are homosexual. How could that be when the word of God is so clear? Homosexual churches. No, there's only one church. Church is the bride of Christ. Jesus said when he was here on earth, Luke's Gospel chapter 13, verse 3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It doesn't matter what your sin is. Oh, we focused on some things today, but you may just be a pure old liar, a thief, a con man, a fornicator. It don't matter what it is. Don't come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to be saved, but I want to keep on sinning. No. Jesus says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 3, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. It's impossible to be saved unless we repent. So he said, Pastor, what is repentance? Put this in your notes. What is repentance? It is a change of mind that causes us to embrace Jesus and to turn from him. Repentance means I am embracing Jesus and turning from my sin. I'm not trying to hold on to sin and Jesus. And turning from my sin and turning to Jesus. So the question is, have you repented yet? You're listening to me online. Have you repented yet? Have you turned from sin and turned to Jesus? Have you received him as your Savior yet? It could happen right now. I was having lunch with one of my friends who was very active in the LGBT community, and she's a very successful attorney in Philadelphia. Sadly, she grew up in an evangelical church, but she was hurt. The church sometimes hurts people. She gave me an open door to share the gospel. It wasn't the first time I had shared with her, but this time, as I was winding down the discussion, she said to me, Brian, I wish I could have what you have. So I asked her, what do you mean? You wish you could have what I have? She said, I wish I could have faith in God like that. And I said to her, you can. Right now, you can turn from your sin and embrace Jesus. Receive him as your Savior. But she wasn't willing to repent. She wasn't willing to repent. And she has continued on her path. Are you willing to repent? Sir, young lady, are you willing to repent today? Are you willing to say, God, I have sinned. Regardless of what the sin is, God, I have sinned. But God, today, I am turning from my sin. I'm turning to you. Please come into my heart. Please come into my life. Change me today.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.